Hi, good morning, church. Happy to be here with you today, especially on this very special occasion of Good Friday, a very precious day for us. I want to thank your pastor for his kind invitation for me to be able to be with you today. And we want to look at God's Word today, and I want to invite you to follow me on the sermon outlines that you have. Do you have sermon outlines? Could you kind of take it out and wave it at me so that I know you're following me? Thanks, that's a great encouragement. Can I encourage you to take notes, okay? So sometimes if something stirs in our hearts or something jumps out at us, it could very well be God raising something to us, and when we reflect on it, we can remember it much more accurately. So follow me on the outlines as well as the PowerPoints that are provided for us. You know, sometime back, the newspapers reported that a man made a typing mistake and because of it landed 13,000 kilometers away from his destination. 21-year-old German tourist wanted to visit his girlfriend in Australian city Sydney, but instead landed 13,000 kilometers away near Sydney, Montana, because he mistyped his destination on a flight booking website. And so he was dressed for the Australian summer, you know, went out there for summer holidays, t-shirt and shorts and everything, and going out for 4 weeks on that holiday. But instead of coming to Sunshine, Australia, he landed up in Winter, Montana. You know, and he was saying, I did wonder, but I didn't want to say anything. I thought to myself, maybe you can fly to Australia via the United States. So he only had a thin jacket to keep out the winter cold. He spent 3 days in Billings Airport before he was able to buy a ticket to Australia again with the 600 euros in cash that his parents and friends sent from Germany. And his entire destination changed by 13,000 kilometers because of one single error. You know, sometimes our entire circumstance or destination can change because of one fact, one truth. Sometimes it's not easy to face up to the facts or to face up to the truth. In fact, it takes courage for us to acknowledge the reality that's around us rather than to live in our own ivory tower. And this whole issue of courage is what I want to share with us today on Good Friday, when we remember the courage of Jesus Christ in going up and facing the destiny that God had given to him on the cross. You know, this year is also a special year in Singapore as we celebrate SG 50. You know, and you know, as we look at how Singapore has been growing as a nation, we often ask God to give favor to the nation. And one of the ways that I believe God gives favor to the nation is when the nation begins to face up to the truth of what God wants to say to us and how to be able to be people of integrity and righteousness. In fact, Jason Wong, who is you know, the one who founded the Dads for Life movement, once was sharing that nowadays as he works with young adults, you know, in the various workplaces, he finds that Singapore exports a high efficiency. It exports high performance into many parts of Asia. But he said, wouldn't it be great if one day we could export the righteousness of God as well, the integrity of God as well, the ethics of God as well? And as we do that, you know, I believe that God will begin to bless our nation with favor. But it requires all of us to play our parts, to face up, because a nation is made up of different corporations. A nation is made up of different families. And it's in the corporation that we need to be people of integrity and righteousness. It's in our families that we need to be people of integrity and righteousness. And that's what builds up that nation. You know, a friend of mine who works in a company gave some feedback to improve certain training programs so as to give an alternative perspective to some of the things that were being done. Well-meaning colleagues stopped him and said, be careful. The CEO sometimes only wants to hear what he wants to hear, not very open to differing feedback. I know of a marriage where a husband and wife have been struggling for many years. Repeated fights, yelling, financial tensions. Everyone could see that they needed help. The cell leader said, please go and see a counselor. The friends said, go and see a counselor. The pastor said, go and see a counselor. They just could not own up to it. Finally, after years, the husband was convicted, called to make an appointment with the pastor, with the both of them. And on the first counseling session, the wife was not there. Only the husband was there. And so when the pastor asked, you know, where is your wife? Oh, she's out shopping. You know, and she came much later because of that shopping. And you know, I think that the issue was not really about shopping. I think that there was a voice going on in her mind that said, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to face up to the truth, to open our hearts to one another in this area. I found a way of coping, and I would rather rely on that way of coping. I know BGRs that are not built on truth. Something is wrong in them. And the boyfriend or the girlfriend wants to avoid it or sweep it away. They tell, you know, their friends tell them they have to deal with it. Their mentors tell them they have to deal with it. But they keep on playing the dating game and not deal with the truth until it lands with great heartbreak. Peter Drucker, a well-known management expert, once said these words. Turbulence in life can bring dangerous times. But the greatest danger is the temptation to deny the reality around us. Friends, we need courage to face up to the reality in our lives. We need courage to take a look at honest truth, to look at things that sometimes we don't like to see, or to hear things that we don't like to hear. Because truth helps us to make clear decisions that will put your life on the path that God wants for you and help us to grow as the persons He intended. And since this is Good Friday, as we go toward Easter and Holy Week, you know, I've chosen to share with us this story of a person who played the role in the events of Holy Week. And so we enter into the story of a very ordinary person. His name is Nicodemus. Say after me, Nicodemus. How many of you before today have heard of Nicodemus? Before today? Okay. You know, in fact, not many of you. And there's a reason for that, because Nicodemus is an ordinary person in the Bible. He's not one of the big, you know, guns or the big names. He doesn't stand out. He's really ordinary. And I've chosen him to highlight today because it tells us that God wants to work through ordinary people. People just like you and me. And God has a purpose for us and a calling for us. And so Nicodemus' struggle is over courage for truth. He had to face his reality. He met with Jesus. He sensed there was something special in Jesus, but he could not admit it in public. And it found it hard to face up to it himself, but it gnawed at him inside until a point where he had to make a secret appointment with Jesus Christ. So let's look at his story that I'll put on screen so that we can understand what had happened. Taken from John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I wonder if you are in a situation today where honest truth can make a difference. Are you in a situation today where perhaps you are having difficulty in facing up to the reality? There's something painful and challenging in your life that whenever you want to think about it, your mind, you know, just shuts it away because it's too difficult or painful. But I really think that this is very important for God's blessings. How many of you want God's blessings in your life? Can I see your hand? Amen. I believe that we want that. We want God's blessings in our lives. But sometimes, in order to receive God's blessings, we need to face the truth. Jesus once said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So let's take a moment to look at some things that sometimes make it difficult for us to face the truth. There were three things that made courage difficult for Nicodemus to overcome and for us as well in life. What makes it difficult to face the truth? The first thought I want to share with us is this. When people expect you to be an expert to know everything. When people expect you to be an expert to know everything. You know, the Bible tells us that this ordinary person, indeed, was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, this meant that Nicodemus was one who faithfully studied and practiced the instructions and the law of God. He was a respected and trusted leader of the people. In their conversation, Jesus said, "You, Nicodemus, are an important teacher in Israel." You know, the biblical Greek language phrases this way, that Nicodemus was not just any teacher, he was the teacher. There was an article, you know, in the Greek that says that this was the teacher, an important, well-known, famous teacher at the time. And because of that, there was a pressure on Nicodemus to know everything and not lack anything. People expected that of him, and that makes courage to face truth more difficult, especially if he really did not know something. You know, I remember when I was a much younger pastor, younger than I am now, you know, and I was preaching in church, and one of the members, a young man at the time, came up and questioned my study of the Bible of a particular verse. He put it across so directly, so strongly. Actually, when I look back at it in retrospect, he was correct. When I look at the verse, there was a better way of studying it and interpreting it. But it was difficult for me to acknowledge that at that time, because I was the pastor of the church and he was just a young man in the church. I'm supposed to be the expert who had gone to Bible college and know everything. How could I admit that I was wrong? But when I look back in retrospect, I realize that he was right. But there were too many issues, too much emotions involved, and it was difficult to acknowledge that someone younger was right and I was wrong. It's difficult to be courageous in a situation when you're supposed to be the expert, the older, the wiser, and you realize you may need to make a change because you might be in the wrong. A second thing that makes it difficult to face truth is found in this verse of what Nicodemus said. "Jesus, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Nicodemus was saying, "I know there is something special here, something of God, but how can it be that we must be born again? I can't admit it, but there's something I'm missing here." The second thing that makes it difficult to face the truth is when you have missed the heart of the matter. When you have missed the heart of the matter. I remember I was talking to a young adult once whose father opposed a course of action that she wanted to take, a course of action that was very important to her. You know, and they would get into fights over it, so much quarrels and arguments, and to a point where she was thinking, "Should I move out of my home? Because I can't stand this constant disagreement." And I remember as I was counseling her, I said to her, "You know, sometimes it takes courage to be humble. God may want you to delay your plans just for a while or sacrifice them to genuinely talk and engage with your dad, to negotiate genuinely and not just force your way through. It's difficult if you don't know what your dad's dreams are, your dad's hopes are, your dad's fears are. If all you do is look at this situation, whether it's open a door or not, and you don't understand the hopes, the dreams, the fears underlying all these things, then all you see is disagreement. But if you take time to listen, to pray, and to understand, God will show you the heart of the matter. And when you know the heart of the matter, what is on your heart, what is on His heart, and then it could lend you courage to make the right choice." You know, when I was a younger pastor and I led a church, I would charge headlong into an issue and then think about it later. But at a later phase, when I preached more at other churches, and I began to see many pastors and leaders who needed encouragement, some of them were burnt out severely, and they were even thinking of resignation. They were struggling where they were. And I began to develop a compassion to stand up for the hearts of leaders and pastors. And recently, in consulting for a church board over a pastor that was thinking of resignation, I challenged the board to give a short rest break for the pastor. I stood before them and I said, "Give him a rest break. Pay for him to do that. Don't make him take his annual leave. Tell him that you value his time of praying and thinking through his sense of call. And when he comes back, it will be a benefit to the church." And the board heard my request and acceded to the request. I could stand before the board boldly to challenge it, champion it, because I knew the heart of the matter. I'd spent many hours listening to the pastor and all the various parties, you know, and praying with them. Sometimes when we know the heart of the matter, when we understand the hopes, the fears, and the dreams involved, then courage comes because we sense what is the right thing to do. But when we miss the heart of the matter, we only touch on peripheral issues, sometimes it's difficult to be courageous. Thirdly, it's difficult to face the truth when you worry about personal reputation. When you worry about personal reputation. The Bible tells us Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. You know, the night hides us from the eyes of men. And the Bible often describes people in fear doing things at night. So Nicodemus was struggling. I'm a well-known author, celebrated writer, famous teacher. I have a reputation. I don't know, but you don't know that I don't know. And I can't let people know that I don't know. You're following me? Yes? So I need to meet with Jesus in a night meeting. And that's why Jesus confronted him. Jesus said, "You are an important teacher in Israel, and you don't understand these things." And it was true. Nicodemus knew so much, was well known, but he did not understand some things of the heart. What was he to do? You know, a story was told of a circus that came to town, and the lion tamer was an attractive lady. She was very popular, and the people cheered. She would go into a huge cage, you know, with all the wild animals and the lions, you know, and command them to do her bidding. And there was one lion in particular, a male lion that was growling all the time. It seemed so fierce that even the other lions seemed to be afraid of this lion. And she stepped right up to that lion, and everybody held their breath, nervous about what was going to happen. And with one gesture and a command, the lion got down from its pedestal, meekly padded over to her, you know, and nuzzled its huge head against her head. And you know, everybody was stood up, giving a roaring applause. Everyone clapped. Wow, that's a great way to go. All clapped except one person. He stood up after the applause died down and challenged. What's so great about that? Anyone can do that. And the lion, Lady Tamer, coyly replied, "Sir, would you like to come down and try doing it?" And the man replied, "Sure, if you can get the lion to get out of the cage and come to the audience, then I will do that." And everyone laughed. Hey, when your preacher tells a joke, can you encourage her, support? Everyone laughed. Thank you for encouraging. I always tell Pastor Daniel he trains his church very well to encourage their preachers. You know, sometimes we don't dare to face up to the lions in our lives. We choose the easy way out. We don't face them, or we put conditions. Get the issue out of the way. Get the person to come up to this point. Then I will face up to it. And today, maybe some of us need to enter the cage of our hearts. Face our lions. It's time to stop giving excuses. If this happened or that happened, the lion must come out to this point first. Then I will face it. It's time to enter the cage and face it. And God wants to give you courage to go with you, to guide you. And that's the way to step into God's blessings and plan for your life. Friends, I know that for some of us, we may be in a situation today where we really want God's blessings. We wish for a breakthrough. But it's only when we begin to face up to the issues that God has been speaking to us about, that's where God's blessings begin to enter our situation. And Nicodemus took the initiative. He entered the cage of his heart and he sought to face his lions. And from his courage, we learn courage for truth. You know, I run a consultancy for churches and sometimes NGOs, as what was shared earlier. And I've consulted for quite a few churches in the last few years. People often ask me to help them with this problem. Why doesn't the church grow? Or why doesn't my ministry have a breakthrough? Why can't I circumvent this problem? And you know, in my experience of consultations, I've come to realize that 60% of the time, the problem is not in the surrounding nor in the people at large. 60% of the time, the problem is usually in the individual, in the leader's own personal perspective. And one of the largest blocks to effective leadership is when we say, "I don't know how to grow myself in this new situation anymore. I don't know how to grow beyond my perspectives or my limits." One of the needs for courage, for truth, is the humility to learn. It's the humility to learn. Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Nicodemus said to himself, "I know so much about this topic, but I'm not having the results I want. I'm a teacher of God, yet I do not have the miracles that Jesus has." And he desired to know more the secret of this new way. And the key part to it that gave him courage was that he was willing to ask. Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" In the Bible language, the way it's phrased is not just a plain question. It's phrased as a plea, almost a desperate cry. How could these things be? I've studied so much, but how can it be? And he was honest to admit that he did not understand everything. He didn't know it all. Friends, how desperate are you for breakthrough in your life today? Will you be willing to be humble, to learn, and especially to let God guide you? You know, one of my greatest learning encounters in my studies was when I studied in the science faculty in NUS. My physiology lecturer, Dr. Lee, was one of the teachers that really inspired me to think. You know, he said, when you want to do well in your exams, you'll say to the class, "Don't just study and study and study. You need to look at what is the problem and think how you can solve it. What are the possible solutions to what you are studying?" So he said, for example, if you want to do well in your exams, solution number one, can I break into my lecturer's room and steal the exam sheets? Say, okay, all right, viable, but not quite in sync with my values. So what is solution number two? What is solution number three? Think and ask the right questions. And he was one of my best teachers, really, who taught me how to think. A friend of mine faced an organizational impasse and could not solve it. And she really wanted to understand the underlying issues. And she really wanted to learn. So she brought in a corporate consultant. This consultant spent 3 hours with her, putting up the models of the different personalities in the organization, almost like playing chess. He would put the CEOs here. This is his personality. The HR manager is here. The manager is here. These are the various game pieces, almost like playing chess, you know. What's the thing that you need to ask? What are your options to do? 3 hours consultation, he charged her $10,000. $10,000 for 3 hours to ask the right questions, to think. Friends, God wants to give you more than a $10,000 consultation. One of the titles given to Jesus Christ is this: "For to us Jesus Christ is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called" what? "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Friends, I want to tell you that Jesus is the wisest and most wonderful Counselor. He can give you more than a $10,000 consultation. Amen? And he wants to give you a breakthrough. God loves you. He wants you to break through in your situation today. And Jesus wants to give you counsel on how to navigate the quarrel you had with your parents, to navigate the hurt you have with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, to navigate the complex difficulty that you have in your work situation with your boss. He wants to be a wonderful counselor. But it begins with the humility to learn. Secondly, courage for truth requires a desire for personal experience. A desire for personal experience. Sometimes courage comes when we have experienced something for our own life, and that experience or personal encounter gives you a conviction that you will fight for. Let me give you an example. How many of you here have children? Can I see your hands? Those of you who have children. Okay, quite a number of you, all right? Now think back with me to the time before you had your first child, okay? First your child. Now I know for some of you that's ancient history, previous life, okay? But for the purpose of this, you need to think back, okay? Before your first child, when you plan to have children, did any of you ever have this thought, you know, if my child comes, I may lose the freedom to do the things I like. So maybe it would be good to hold back on having children just for a while so that I can kind of enjoy doing some of the things I'd like first. How many of you thought that way? Come on, honestly, come on, this is a church, don't lie. Okay, all right. So I see a number of hands, okay? Now, I know that sometimes we think that way. You know, and you may feel that I'm not ready to be a parent yet. You know, but you know when your child is born, especially when you hold your firstborn in your hands, and so much love, you know, goes out to the firstborn, all these thoughts all melt away. Isn't that true? Yeah, all these thoughts all disappear that you thought about delaying and all that, because you touch your firstborn and you say, wow, this is so precious, you know. When you have a personal experience of your own child, it changes your past attitudes and your feelings completely. And when your baby comes, you say, wow, it's so cute, you know, you want to pinch the child and hold the face and all that, you know, and you know, your heart goes out to the child and it's so precious. When your baby grows up, your child is very precious, even though there are difficulties, good times and bad times. I remember when my son Keith was 8 years old, he was emotionally stressed over something. He was in tears. And he asked me, Dad, why did God give me such strong emotions? I really cannot handle it anymore. 8 years old, huh? Talk like counseling session and that, you know? You know, I've been telling him all this while that his emotions are a gift from God, you know, and God will use it one day in his life. So I put it this way. Keith, son, you know the comic hero Iron Man in the movie Iron Man 1? When he developed his repulsor rays and jet boots, the first time Tony Stark activated the boot jets and repulsors, what happened? And Keith, without hesitation, and it tells you what we watch and do stuff with normally. Keith, without hesitation, says, Tony Stark flew and bashed against the wall. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about here? You're the holy ones, so I don't watch movies. So I said to him, so Iron Man does not give up just because he bashes into the wall. He continues to train and develop his boot jets and repulsors until they become weapons, right? He said, yes. So the discipleship moment comes, okay? Keith, God will shape and train your emotions despite its bursts and explosions. He will train it until it becomes a weapon that God will use in future. Don't give up. Don't give up. And you know, when my 8-year-old son heard what I said, he ran to me from across the room, held me tight, tears streaming down his face. Friends, because I have a personal experience of my children, I would fight and die for my children. Isn't that right? It's probably the same for you and for me. You see, when you have personal experience, you are much more convicted about what you believe. And it's true, not just for parenting, but for many areas of life. And it's true for the spiritual as well. Nicodemus was asking and desiring a personal experience. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, only a few times does Jesus preface words with truly, truly. Those of you who have studied the King James Version of the Bible would have remembered that very familiar phrase, verily, verily, you know, I say to you. Whenever Jesus used this preface, what he's about to follow with is a core secret of how God works. So listen to this secret. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus is saying this is a core, a secret about God. Nicodemus, unless you are born into the work of God, the work that only God can do to stir the spiritual part of you to bring it to life, you will not. It's unlikely. You cannot experience the fullness of the life that God wants for you. Friends, I know that many of us want to experience the life God intended for you, the blessings of life. But it's difficult to be courageous for it until you have experienced a measure of God for yourself. If you want to have God's blessings, it's difficult to lay hold of it with courage if you only know about God from afar and you don't have a deep relationship, nor have you opened yourself to Him. And in your situation today, you need to experience God again. You know, I've learned that sometimes when we are facing a crossroad and a difficult situation, it's important to look for courage and to look at the difficult situation, but I think I've come to realize you should do that less of eyeballing the difficulty of the situation and mustering up your courage, and do more of turning to God and saying, God, I want to experience you again. I want to encounter you in this situation. I want to know your will, your heart,
your love for me in this situation. And we ask for God to give us an encounter of Him, and that will give us courage. You know, I remember years ago, when I first heard of the filling of the Holy Spirit, I was a teenager then, and I was a little afraid. It was new to us then, the whole experience of being filled with the Spirit, and yet I wanted to have a personal experience of God. I was gripped by this conviction. I said, in my prayer, in my heart, it was this prayer, God, if I can encounter you more by these experiences, then I want it. Anything that will help me to just have more of you and encounter you, then I want it. And I continued to ask God for the filling of His Holy Spirit. And then one day, I remembered, a few weeks after I had begun praying in this way, I felt really tired on a school day. And I thought, you know, I'm going to skip school today because I'm really so exhausted. I spent some time praying with God in the morning, and I felt an impression come into my heart. And I felt God say, Philip, I want you to go to school today. Don't skip school. And I said, God, why? And the impression returned, because I am going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Now, those of you students, I don't know how you feel if God said that to you, you know. Don't skip school today, go to school, because I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you respond, you know, whether you say, I'll think about it, you know, let's rest a while. I didn't, okay? I rushed, I packed everything in a hurry, rushed to school as soon as I could. All the while, you know, I'm kind of thinking, expecting someone at the front gate, all dressed in the white gown, you know, to come up to me and say, Philip, kneel now, receive the Holy Spirit. Watch too much of Lord of the Rings already, you know. But it was a normally boring day. Nothing happened. I thought maybe I heard God wrongly. Waited through, you know, you ever heard a word from God, you go through the whole day and you're waiting. And some of us are in this situation, God said a word to us, we are waiting. And we said, maybe I heard wrongly, you know, what's going on? I remember at lunchtime, one of my friends showed me one of the Christian Fellowship songbooks that we had. It was just those simple small books with lots of songs, you know, in paragraphs, down there, and as I was looking, just scanning, one song jumped out. It just jumped out, and I said, wow, there's a stirring. I leaned in closer to look at the song, and it was the song whose lyrics go like this. He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. You all know the song? How many of you know the song? Wow, okay, this is a test of your age, yeah. Oh, like I said, exposure. Okay, the exposure that you have. You know, I took that as a sign and an encouragement from God. God was saying to me, Philip, if I said I'm going to do something in your life, I am able to do it. And maybe some of you today need to take courage from that. If God has given you a promise and He said, I'm going to do something in your life, you've got to learn to trust Him. He is more than able to do the thing that He has promised to you. It reached the end of the day, school day, nothing happened. School bell ring already. School bell ring, you know, going home already. Suddenly a friend came up to me, troubled look on her face, like, oh, I have to say this or else I cannot sleep tonight. And pulled me one side and said, Philip, I've got to share this with you. And so she shared with me something she had read from a book she had been reading. The author had a vision that Jesus came and offered to kiss his feet. And the man said to Jesus, you are my Lord. You're my Lord Jesus Christ. How can you kiss my feet? Don't do that. And the message that came out was this. Jesus came to serve us and to give His life as a ransom for many. And through what Jesus has already done, His gifts are already ours. It's given to us. We don't need to keep asking for it. We just need to open our hearts, position ourselves to receive it from the Lord. The moment my friend said that, there was a deep stirring in my heart to say, Philip, that's what you have been waiting for the whole day. The whole day was just for that. And I was really astounded. I went home that night, washed up, changed to my pajamas, went to bed, and then sat on my bed, the acid test. I prayed, Lord, based on what you told me today, I'm going to believe you have already given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I'm just going to receive it. So right now, in Jesus' name, I receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the moment I prayed that, I immediately felt a huge electrical current hit me on the head. It hit me on the head, traveled down through my entire body, hit my feet, the bottom of my feet, and rebounded up, down, just a very almost tangible, strong feeling of this electrical current. You know, in my cognitive mind, I was thinking, wow, is this it? You know, but even if it's not it, something is happening. Something so tangible and so physical. I was so excited for God. I could not sleep until 4 a.m. I stayed up praying to God until 4 a.m. Went to sleep a couple of hours, woke up to go to school the next morning, and the one thing I felt in my heart was boldness. Boldness to do anything. God, if you tell me to do anything, I will set my heart to do it because I know my life is in your hands and I'm going to do anything you tell me to do. Now that's courage. And the Bible calls this experience being born of the spiritual, being born of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that we all must experience God only in this way. I mean, that's just my personal testimony. But I do want to say to you this. Experiencing God for yourself is very important. Amen? It is important. Friends, I want to testify to you that when you experience God for yourself, you are birthed into the things of the Spirit. Something happens in you that opens your spiritual things to the things of God. And you know with all your heart that God is real. That He leads you in your situation. He walks with you and talks with you along life's narrow ways. And you will have courage to make choices for the life that God intends for you to have. Finally, courage for truth requires an encounter with something greater than yourself in God. Courage for truth often requires an encounter with something greater than yourself in God. How do you feel when you see a picture like this? How do you feel? Wow. Okay, or like this. Wow. How many of you feel peaceful inside? Okay, I see some hands. How many of you feel a sense of awe? Okay, I see that. How many of you are looking at this feel like you wish you were on holiday right now? Yeah, many hands. You know, when people who are stressed, and they go into a vast natural landscape, they see a beautiful mountain or they see a beautiful landscape, they calm down, they get a sense of peace. And this is quite universal. Most of us are wired in this way. When we encounter something larger than ourselves that is good, that is positive, then it brings an immovable and unshakable sense of calm. Scientists like Copernicus, Sir Francis Bacon, Descartes, Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, Blaise Pascal. These are just some of the scientists who, in studying the immensity of creation and stars and the nature, came to a conviction that God exists. In fact, Alan Sandage is a contemporary famous scientist who has won numerous esteemed scientific awards. He became a Christian at the age of 50 years old. 50 years old. And he says these words. He writes this. I find it quite improbable that such order came out of chaos. There has to be some organizing principle. God, to me, is a mystery, but is the explanation for the miracle of existence. Why there is something instead of nothing. Scientists who study the greatness of the stars and planets and the suns, they realize there is something greater than ourselves. And there is great power when we encounter something greater than ourselves, someone of a higher power whom we can trust. And when we come to realize that, it calms us, it stirs us, and gives us courage. Jesus told Nicodemus that to have an experience for himself, he needed to encounter God personally, through the person that God provides. And this is what Jesus said. You all see it on screen? Let's read it out loud together, this verse, shall we? 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This person, this Son of God, is Jesus Christ. When you are at a crossroad, when you have decisions to make, and you need boldness and courage, I want to tell you, the biggest encourager you can have in your situation today, the biggest change agent you can have in your situation today is God. And friends, I know some of us may be facing situations which is complex and it needs to think through a good many things and many, many aspects to it. I want to say to you, God wants to make a difference. God wants to speak into your life. He wants to come into that situation to bring about a change. Erin Bethea played opposite Kirk Cameron in the movie Fireproof. And if you saw the movie, you will know that she was one of the main actresses. Erin was actually working full-time with Disney Corporation at the time. And then God spoke to her. She felt God speaking to her about this movie, Fireproof, that she should be a part of. And she felt convicted about this. But she realized that to do this, she had to quit her job. And that means quitting Disney Corporation, surrendering her salary, her income, surrendering her insurance, which is a big thing in the U.S., and she was at a crossroad in her decision. She didn't know if she had the courage to do that. But she shares that she felt something greater than her in this. She quit her job. She took on the movie project. She trusted that God would lead her and provide. And the result is the movie Fireproof. This movie Fireproof is really saving marriages all around the world today. And it's good for your marriage. If you have not yet watched it before, I recommend that you do that, especially for your marriage. 1 week before the final shoot of Fireproof, Disney Corporation called Erin back and offered her a different role in the company. Her dream role, she actually confessed, and a contract as well. And you know, when we listen to a story like Erin's story, we realize that she doesn't play it safe. She encountered something greater and she risked to follow. And God used her for impact and provided for all her needs and provided for her future as well. And the lesson we learn from people like her is this. I may never be famous, but I can be a person who hears God and believes in God and intimate with God. I may never be well known, but I can be a person of conviction, of purpose, to leave a mark and to make an impact. But I must have courage to do it. You know, Nicodemus was a person who was humble to learn. He desired to experience God personally, to be born again. He encountered something bigger than himself in his journey. And this ordinary person changed. You know, in later years, in the events leading up to Holy Week, Good Friday and Easter, Nicodemus began to stand for truth in the council of leaders. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were two of the people who, as it were, they voted for Jesus not to be wrongly crucified. They were the only two of 70 to cast the vote. Don't crucify Jesus unjustly. And you know they were vetoed. Jesus was crucified. And these two lost all political clout. You know, today we read in the newspapers about the American presidency, you know, and Donald Trump and Clinton and all that. Or we read about the Myanmar politics, you know, or the Chinese politics. You know what it means if a party who is invested in the game loses all political clout. It means everything to them because they are the ones invested in the game. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea lost all political clout they had for Jesus. But they were transformed to be courageous. In the later part of the Bible, it describes God's courage in Nicodemus' life. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Governor Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it at the place where Jesus was crucified. There was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb. And they laid Jesus there. Nicodemus, you know, in thinking back on his life, I think that he might have laughed over it. You know, he would have said, do you remember the time? I was so scared, I actually came to Jesus at night to try to meet with him. I feared facing up to the truth until I encountered the truth and encountered Jesus. And Nicodemus came to love Jesus and to respect what was right. He saw the perseverance of Jesus all the way to the cross on what we remember of Good Friday. And he said in his heart, I will never stay silent when God calls me to speak. I will never waver when there are tough decisions to make. And he took courage that very day to ask together with Joseph to bury the body of Jesus and he is remembered forever for that act of courage. Friends, I want to say to you today, if you are in a financial situation today, a relational situation, a work situation, and you feel that God has put something on your heart, he's been speaking to you about it, and you take courage, you count the cost, you know what you might lose, all the clout you may lose, and you count the cost and you say, Lord, I will risk it for you. God remembers your courage. God remembers your courage because it's precious to him. It honors the Lord and it opens the door to the blessing that he wants to give. Today, some of you need that courage. The courage God gave to Nicodemus. You need someone greater than you in your life. You need the one who is greater than your strength, the one who is greater than your situation, the one who reigns over all. Today, will you step out of the dark of the fear of man, fear of reputation, and come into the light of God's courage? Come, let's put down our things, let's stand to our feet, and let's have the worship team just lead us in a song to respond. Courage in a situation in your work. You know that some things are not right. And you avoid it. You take the easy way out. You sweep it under the carpet. And the plans that God longs for you, for your life, your relationships, or your work may be lost because of that. You need God's courage to guide you forward. But you know, in order to have a courage from the Lord, an encounter with the Lord, you need to ask God into your life. To say, God, can I have a personal encounter with you? To experience you personally. Jesus said these words to Nicodemus that transformed him. And Jesus says it to you today as well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I want to give an invitation, an opportunity for some of us to respond today on this very special day of Good Friday. Good Friday, a day that we remember that Jesus took courage and He walked all the way to the cross to give His life as a ransom for you and for me. And I want to give you an opportunity as we remember this special day all over the world on Good Friday, for two groups of people to respond to God today. The first group of people are those you have never asked Jesus into your life before. You may have done many Christian things, and even for you, the Christian things may be quite cool. Your friend invited you to church. You think it's a good thing, and that's great. But you have never personally opened your heart to say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Be my Savior and my Lord. And today you are saying, you know, Pastor, I really want to ask Jesus into my life. I want to have an encounter with Him. I want to ask Him to come and be my Savior and Lord for the first time. I want to ask Him, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I want to pray with you in just a moment's time, if that is the prayer of your heart. The second group of people I want to give an invitation to are people, you know, who have known God in the past. You have walked with God in the past. But for a long time now, you have run far away from God. You have backslided from the Lord. And you know, you look out okay on the outside, but inside you know God is far away from you. He doesn't feature in the decisions that you make. He doesn't feature in the parts of your life. You know, on the inside you know that you have turned far away from the Lord. But today you're saying, Pastor, I really want to experience the life that God has for me. I want to have that encounter and that courage that comes from the Lord. I want to come home to the Lord. Pastor, would you pray for me? And I want to pray with you in just a moment. I'm just going to say a simple prayer. And I want to invite the people that belong to these two groups. The group that the prayer of your heart is saying, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus into my life before. And I really want to ask God into my life for the first time. And the second group of people that says, you know, I've known God, but for a long time, I'm far away from the Lord. I need to come back to the Lord once again. And if you belong to these two groups of people, I'm just going to say the words of a simple prayer. There's no magic in the words, but when you mean it with all your heart, that is a prayer. When you mean it with all your heart, I believe that God will come into your heart, into your life, into your situation, and make a difference there. Because on Good Friday, we remember that God sacrificed His only Son, Jesus Christ, for you. How would He not give you everything else that you need when He has given even the most precious possession that He's had, the proof of how much He loves you? So I want to say a simple prayer, and if you belong to these two groups of people, can I invite you to say that prayer after me? And church, you know, to encourage those in our midst who may have to say that prayer sincerely and unashamedly in our midst, can I invite every member of the church to just say out loud the lines of this prayer after me, line by line? Would you do that? Just as an encouragement, let's just unashamedly fill this sanctuary with the words of a prayer that cry out to heaven. And if you belong to those two groups of people, you use these words to really mean it with all your heart. Shall we do that? Come church, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,
Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for your love for me.
Thank you for your love for me.
That on Good Friday, at a point in history, you gave your only Son Jesus Christ.
You gave your only Son Jesus Christ.
And He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
To save me from my sins.
Save me from my sins.
So I cry out to you today.
So I cry out to you today.
I receive this love that you give. Would you rescue me from my mistakes? Would you save me from my sins? Would you come into my life? Let me have a personal encounter with you. Teach me to hear your voice. Give me courage in my situation. Help me to follow after you. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to be the Savior of my life.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to ask for all heads to be bowed, all eyes closed. You know, I if you belong to either of those two groups of people, where just now, you know, you said, Pastor, I have never asked Jesus into my life before, but I prayed that prayer just now, asking Him to come into a relationship with me for the first time. Or you're saying, Pastor, I have backslided far from God, but just now I prayed that prayer sincerely and I want to come home. I want to walk with God and know His plan for my life again. And if you belong to either of these two groups of people, you prayed that prayer, I just want to give you an invitation. I'm going to, well, all heads are bowed, all eyes closed. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, if you belong to those two groups of people and you prayed that prayer sincerely, can I just ask that you put up your hands? Would you do that? You put up your hands so that I can see it as a sign that you're saying, God, I surrender to you. I want you in my life. And then I want to pray a blessing over you. Can we do that? All right, well, all heads are bowed, all eyes closed. On the count of three, you prayed that prayer. You belong to those two groups of people. You put up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands. Hands up, hands up, hands up. Hold up your hands. Hands up as an outstretched hand, empty palm, a surrender to the Lord. I want to pray for you. Hold it there a moment. Father, I just want to pray for these, my brothers and sisters, who have made a commitment to you, that they have asked you to come into their lives to encounter you. Father, I just want to pray that you will bless them in a deep way. You will cover them, Lord. Lord, I thank you that on this Good Friday, they have made this decision. And Lord, I want to pray that over the weekend, you will bless them richly as we go into Easter and all its celebration. Lord, I want to pray that you will bring people into their life to encourage them. You will watch over them. You will bless them in a deep and special way. You will help them to have an encounter with you. They will know that they will know that they will know with all their hearts you are real and you love them and you want to lead them. You want to enter into their situation and give them courage for breakthrough. Bless them, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you prayed that prayer just now and you raised your hand, I want to encourage you to tell someone about it, okay? Tell your friend about it. Tell the one who invited you to church or someone that's close to you. Don't keep it a secret. Tell them about it and say, you know, I responded to that because of this reason in my life and I know that the Lord will bless you. I want to give a second invitation today for the entire church. So I want to invite us to just continue to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to give this invitation to the whole church today. You know, I really sense that for some of us today, we need that blessing from the Lord. As I shared earlier, I really sense that some of us really need a breakthrough in our relationships with our children, perhaps, or with other people. Some of us need a breakthrough in our life work situation. We are facing a situation that is pretty complex and pretty intimidating, you know, and the Lord has put some things on your heart to be able to respond to Him. And I want to open the altar in front this morning, and I want to invite you to come up to the front. By coming up to the front and standing before the Lord, you know, you're saying, God, I really need you in my situation. And some of you, by coming up, you're saying, God, help me to experience you in my situation. I said to you sometimes, we need less to say, oh, it's so difficult, I need to have courage. We need more to say, God, I need to encounter you again. I need to encounter you in my situation. And maybe some of us today, we need that encounter with God. Would you come up so that we can pray for you? Or maybe some of us, we need a word from the Lord. We need, you know, God to speak a word into our situation. And we want to have our prayer team and leaders, you know, just be able to pray for you and speak a prophetic word into your life. Some of you, maybe you're saying, God, I need courage and passion in my heart to face up to my situations. Would you renew passion and courage again? And I want to encourage you to do that. So we are going to sing this song again. And as we sing this song, maybe from the verse, okay, and as we sing it, I want to invite you to come up to the Lord. Would you do that? On Good Friday, where God gave His only Son for you, would you come up and say, God, thank you for this gift. I want to have an encounter with you. I need a breakthrough. Give me courage. Give me passion. Give me counsel. Lord, I need to follow you. Would you come? So I want to invite you to come. Whether you're standing on the top, you know, in the upper seat aisle, don't let that deter you. On this Good Friday, you come down and respond to the Lord. Those in the midst, you need to come. Come up to the Lord. As we sing this again, you know, I also ask those of you who prayed that prayer just now, and you lifted up your hands, you belong to those two groups, you know, and you prayed that prayer, would you come on up as well? We want to pray a blessing over you. Friends, I want to say this to you. You know, we learn a lot of things in school today, but one thing we don't learn often is how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how to hear the things of God in our hearts. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you raise your hand just now, you belong to those two groups of people, would you come on up and just identify yourself to one of the leaders and say, I prayed that prayer just now, would you pray a blessing for me? Just ask someone to pray a blessing for you. We will pray that you're able to hear God more in your life, because you will need it as you go ahead. Shall we do that?
I have a hope so.
Come, church, come. Right? The invitation has been given. Even if you're up at the balcony, you're never too far. Just come. Yes, just come.
My peace in the worst of times. I trust in
God is speaking to you. Come and receive courage from the Lord today. Come and face the truth that God wants you to look at to bring a blessing on your life. Would you do that? Come.
My God reigns, His love will never fail me.
Whether you're standing on the second aisle, you know, in the balcony, if the Lord is speaking to you, would you ask the Lord for a blessing? You come on down. Just receive something from the Lord today. This Good Friday. Come on down. If you belong to those two groups, you raise your hand. You pray that prayer. Would you come on up? Just come on up and ask someone to bless, pray over you. Just identify yourself. Say, I pray that I lifted my hand. Can I have some of the leaders to come up to help to pray? For the leaders to come up, we need your help to pray for the people up front. Let's declare our faith in the Lord. We'll be a people of faith today. As we stand in the history of Good Friday, we are a people of faith and belief in the Lord.
No path in life for.
Prayer team and leaders, would you come on up? I think there are more people here who need to be prayed for. The Lord is speaking to anyone else. Would you come on down? Come on up. You raised your hand just now. Would you come on up so that we can pray a blessing over you? Today. Let's lift the Lord over our circumstances today. Above all things, Lord. Lord Jesus. Above all things in our life.
Above all powers.
on us. We cleanse. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we bless you this day.
Thank you that you are greater. You are greater than every situation and every challenges in our life. Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters that have responded to your altar call. Lord, we pray and ask that you meet them where they are. Lord, may you touch them. May you minister your supernatural healing over those who will come because they need a special touch. And it's for those who are having some distress or challenges at home. We speak your blessing into their hearts right now. That deep down in their hearts, they may experience your perfect peace. Knowing that, Lord, that you are greater. You are greater than that challenge. You are greater than that problem in their lives. And together with you, they shall be overcomer. Because Jesus, you have overcome even the grave. So Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We lift your name up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all God's people say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God bless you. The service is over. But if you need prayer, you come. All right, we are here for you.